is coming from the text read this morning, John 12, chapter verses 1 through 8. For a few moments. The last words of this text, Jesus replied, "You always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, again I stand before you, an empty pitcher before you now, a full fountain, asking, Father, again, that you would once more again fill me, that you would overflow, that with this pitcher, Father, the overflow would find its way to those whom you've given ears to hear, that this overflow would find its way out into those whom you've given a heart to receive, that the overflow of this message would find its way out to those whom you've given a will to do. So, Father, we ask now that you would hide me, that you would be seen, that these lips you would touch so that your voice would be heard. Father, show up and show out as you've done so much, so many times in the past. Help us to understand that we will always have. In Jesus' name, amen. As we look at this passage of text, the theme, "They will be with you always," sprang to mind because as Jesus is preparing for his death, his time on the cross, he is sitting in Bethany at Lazarus' home, and you all remember Lazarus, the one, as John says, the one whom he raised from the dead. He waited 4 days to raise Lazarus from the dead. Mary and Martha had come to him crying, and Jesus, those two words, the shortest sentence in the Bible, "Jesus wept," is recorded. Folks thought that Jesus was sad, was crying because Lazarus had died, but we find that Jesus was weeping because of the unbelief that had been shown in Lazarus dying. So raising Lazarus from the dead, we now find that Jesus is back at their house, breaking bread one last time. And as the story goes, that Martha is busy preparing the food, and Mary is again sitting at Jesus' feet, gleaming the good stuff. John says that Mary took out a pound of costly perfume made of pure nard and began to anoint Jesus' feet. And the one who is set to betray him, the one who holds the money purse, the one who steals from the purse for his own desires from time to time, spoke up and asked Mary, "Why is she wasting this costly perfume, this costly oil?" My text says, "You could have sold it for 300 denarii, that you could have given this to the poor." And Jesus' response was, "Leave her alone. She brought this so that she might be kept for the day of my burial." Now, as we're preparing for Christ to be hung on the cross, and we understand that after his rising, that Mary and a few others go to the grave to prepare his body, to anoint his body, because what happened was he was on the cross, he was hung, he died. They took him off, wrapped him, and put him in a borrowed tomb. None of the funeral rites took place after he died. So Jesus is telling us that Mary is taking care of the rites beforehand. And because she is taking care of him now, he reminds the disciples that he's not going to be with us much longer. I titled this, "They Will Always," or "You Will Always," if you want to look at it in that light. What you find in this passage of text is there's going to always be something that will take you away from your focus on God, your focus on Christ. There is always going to be someone or something that is going to need your help. But my brothers and sisters, there are times when you have got to take care of what is most important: your relationship with the Father. As I looked at this passage of text and I reminisced over the fact that here again we're finding Jesus in the company of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And here again, Martha is busy doing busy work. She has not realized or recognized that it is time to sit down and glean from Christ while he is in their presence. Once again, Mary is sitting there getting the, as I call it, the good stuff from God, from Christ. She's hearing his words. She is taking it all in. She is taking time to be with our Lord and Savior. And in the midst of this, she anoints him. There's going to always be something in your life. There's going to always be someone in your life that will attempt to steal your time with Jesus. Again, we're on this 40-day fast. We're supposed to be placing our focus, our desire, our time. We're supposed to be spending more time with Christ and with God than with those things that keep us distracted. There used to be a time when I would talk about the soap operas. There was a time when I would continue to talk about your diets. But what we have really got to put forth now, Ty, is what are we doing to strengthen our relationship? That is what he is reminding us, is that we will have our things that will distract us. Always. They're going to always be there. The news. The weather. What's going on in the world is going to always be there. And social media and all these other media forms have taken it to the nth power. They will polarize all the bad news to keep you engaged. And there will be a blur about what's good. So they want to focus you on the negative and not the positive. So I'm going to say you will always have the negative to keep your attention, but you must focus on what Christ has done and is doing for you, the positive, where he is interceding on your behalf, where he is keeping you from danger, both seen and unseen. It's going to always be there. You just have to take time to sit and focus in on it. You have to take time to wrestle with it and allow it to grow inside of you. There's going to always be bad news. And again, bad is a construct of how you view things. What might be bad to you is good for something else. You may have been late for work today or have been late for work in the past, but the good part is that you're here to speak about it because God made you late so that you wouldn't have gotten caught up in something that would have taken you out. So it's time that we begin to put our focus on what is true. There's going to always be something to take your mind from Christ, something to take you away from God, but you must take the time to focus in and sit with our Lord and Savior. I like to tell you, get into the Word and allow it to get into you. Take it in and study it and allow it to do a work inside of you so that when things come up, instead of what would Jesus do, you can know what he actually did and do it. My brothers and sisters, there's going to always be something going on. Something that is going to steal your focus. Something that is there to stop you from communing and reverencing and spending time with God and Christ. Something that if you let it, can take you out. You're going to always have those things. In this passage of text, Christ reminded his disciples, you're going to always have the poor. They're going to always be with you. But me, physically, I'm not going to be here much longer. Isn't it good to know? Isn't it good to know that even though he's gone, that he sent a comforter, amen, the Holy Spirit, to be with us. One that can help refocus us when we get lost. Yes, you're going to always have something that will steal your time, that will take your focus. So take what you have, the time that you have, and begin to focus in on our Lord and Savior. This, my brothers and sisters, is the word of God for the people of God.